You're listening to a 1FM podcast.
Now it's time to drop around to Cozzy's Corner.
And, of course, when we get there, we find Roman Coz. Morning, mate.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to our listeners. Hope everybody's going to have a ripper of a day.
Well, no matter what the weather turns on, we'll make it a great day, won't we?
My word, we will.
Now, what are we talking about this morning, Roman?
Well, today I'm going to be talking about one of the original wild men of rock and roll, clearly the leader at the time. He was born Richard Wayne Penniman, and we know him as Little Richard. And he was born on December the 5th, 1932, the third of 12 children, might you say, in Macon, Georgia. His father was... Sorry, Pete, you want to...
No, I was going to say, okay, there you certainly got lots of siblings there.
Oh, just a few.
Yeah.
His father was a church minister, but also was a bootlegger, and he also owned a nightclub, so a very diverse type of father.
Diverse interests, to say the least.
Yeah, just a bit. His mum was a church member and, of course, a very busy mum. Little Richard sang in the church as a young age, of course. Little Richard was born with his left leg shorter than his right leg, which gave him an unusual walking style, and... He copped a bit of bullying at school, but as history shows, nothing stopped Little Richard when he got going. So he learned saxophone at school, and in 1950 he joined his first band, which led to a minstrel show, and somewhere through that minstrel show his singing voice stood out, and RCA Victor got a contract for him, but no major hits around the USA, but he was very well received in Georgia. Another record company he joined, no success there, and he actually was very disappointed and went back home to work as a dishwasher.
Goodness me.
It was a bit of a change of career.
I reckon.
But in the meantime, of course, previously singer Lloyd Price, who we'd remember for songs like Personality and I'm Going to Get Married, had heard Little Richard and signed him up to his label where he did a few demos. But it was a very risque version of a song called Tutti Frutti, at a nightclub which had a producer note Little Richard's more raw ability. They had the language softened a fair bit, and in November 1955 they released a song, and in 1956 it sold 1 million copies and the legend began. 1957 he followed with Long Tall Sally, million sales again. By this time Pete had created what we know as his stage persona, where he's had his legs lifted up on the piano, he climbed on the piano, played it upside down, he did all sorts of things, wild gyrations of all sorts, which led to women going ballistic apparently, throwing underwear at him, leaping off balconies to get at him.
Well, there you go, you can't ask for more than that when you're a rock and roller, can you?
Definitely not. I seem to remember Tom Jones had similar problems years later.
Mm. Yeah. Actually, you were saying that sounded a bit like a young Jade Hurley, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yes.
He used to get up to a few things like that back in the day, too.
Yes, he did. Yes, I remember Jade Hurley. Mrs. Coz and I have seen him, but we were on a rock and roll cruise years ago, and he was on the cruise, and he was fabulous.
Yeah.
Absolutely fabulous. More songs followed for Little Richard. Slippin' and Slidin', Ready Teddy, The Girl Can't Help It, Lucille, Good Golly Miss Molly, he was on fire. He ended up on a couple of rock and roll movies through his friend DJ Alan Freed called Don't Knock the Rock and The Girl Can't Help It. More songs followed, Jenny, Keep a Knockin'. By 1959, I've got to remember, 1956 is when that song first came out, Tutti Frutti. By the end of 1959, he'd had 9 top 40 singles and 17 top 40 rhythm and blues singles in the space of 3 years.
Wasn't wasting any time once he got going.
Well, as I said before, once he got going, there's nothing that stops this guy.
Yeah.
In 1959, he toured Australia with Lee Gordon, and he had a very bad plane flight at one stage, and he saw a bright red fireball in the sky. He was told he was told to calm him down a bit. That was the first artificial satellite, the Sputnik 1. Just to calm him down, but he didn't believe that when he saw it as a sign from God, and he decided to retire from rock and roll music to study theology. And he actually did become a preacher. However, music was a little bit too strong for him, and he sort of had songs towards gospel songs, which actually charted quite well. But bit by bit, the little Richard that we knew came back. In 1962, he toured in the UK, and again, the female fans were frenzied. Mick Jagger, from the Rolling Stones, of course, didn't believe the hype until he saw one of his shows. It was reported saying, he said it was quite an eye-opener. A little bit of trivia, the Beatles opened for Little Richard, and it was Little Richard who taught Paul McCartney Little Richard's distinctive vocal style. So this was in about 1962. As you know, Pete, the Beatles really hit their full stride at about 1964. So what a chance for those guys to open up for Little Richard.
They certainly learned from a professional, didn't they?
Oh, did they?
In the rock and roll sphere of things.
It's just some of the clips I've seen is unbelievable. Late 1960s, he started to do the Las Vegas casinos, and then the early 1970s, the rock and roll circuit. In the mid-1970s, he quit music again. By that stage, he was heavily into drugs and wild parties, and he just wanted to change his life and went back to evangelism. However, by the mid-1980s, after an authorised biography called Quasar of Rock, The Life and Times of Little Richard, and a role in a film called Down and Out in Beverly Hills, that was in 1986, he had a new audience and he was off and running again. Through the 1990s, he appeared with artists like Bon Jovi, Elton John, John Fogerty, Jerry Lee Lewis, Ray Charles, B.B. King. He had a biographical film made for him in the year 2000. Johnny Cash tribute shows he was involved with. For those who are interested, if you go onto YouTube and just type in Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis, you'll see a stack of little clips of shows that they did. And, gosh, you know, even at the age of 70, Pete, he was just a standout, this guy.
Yeah. Once a rock and roller, always a rock and roller, mate.
Are you describing ourselves, are you, Pete?
Well, mate, yeah, certainly not as far as singing's concerned, but I think music style quite possibly.
Yeah, well, I can equate with that. Oh, he just kept going and blowing me down. At the age of 79 in 2011, he headlined a show in Las Vegas again. There's just no stopping him. He had huge problems as a child, going backwards a bit, when his father used to punish him mentally and physically for wearing his mother's makeup, clothes and the way he walked and a bit of his effeminate mannerisms. He was quite bullied as a young fellow, but as we know, Little Richard overcame so many of those personal obstacles, some of which I might say were self-inflicted too, with the drugs and the drinking, etc. But religion, even with spasmodic at times, gave him at least some internal peace. An amazing music icon, Pete. Stage persona is just mesmerising watching him on any of those clips. There's just something about him. We lost him at the age of 87, almost 2 years ago, from bone cancer. And the tribute list was just amazing, led by guys like Bob Dylan, Paul McCartney, Mick Jagger, John Fogerty, Elton John. Just a true legend. Pete, I'm going to get you to play a song today, which named one of my daughters after this particular song, who goes by the name of Jennifer Brenda. Love you, Jenny. And I guess you can guess what song it is, Pete.
Yep, no worries. Up and running. We'll talk to you Wednesday. Roman, thanks for giving us another great insight into a rock and roll legend.
My pleasure, Pete. I'll be back on Wednesday with a country and western artist who started off as a rock and roller.
Okay, we shall guess that one if we can.
Okay, see ya.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.